It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. And I happen to have in the studio a whole plate of cookies. And in addition to that, we have Zaz Hollander. Welcome, Zaz.
Hey, Mike. Good to be here.
And, of course, we have Terry Snyder here as well. Welcome, Terry.
I'm so glad to have company.
And on the phone we have Philip from Talkeetna. Welcome. Welcome, Philip.
Glad to be here, though I am jealous of the cookies.
Yes. We'll explain how they work and all the rest of that as we go on. But at the moment, what I want to do is start with the weather. This has been a turndown of the weather into what is a really cold time. Not unusual, but unusual for this year. So, Philip, starting with you up there in Talkeetna, what's the weather like?
I was about 10 below when I got up to head to work this morning, so it's started cooling off pretty rapidly yesterday, and then apparently that trend continued overnight because it is quite chilly this morning.
Okay, and we can tell you that here at the moment it's 4 degrees above, although we're expected overnight to have something go below. But you live in a slightly different part of this lower part of the valley.
Yeah, Zaz. The greater Palmer area. I live at the sort of the gateway to Hatcher Pass near where the fishhooks come together, and it was about 10 below at the house this morning. Sometimes we get an inversion. And we're warmer than Palmer, but not this morning. There is a nice biting breeze down here, of course.
Oh, of course.
A little one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The good news is we're going to get some sun. The bad news is it's not going to warm us up.
And I'm going to summarize by saying we had a great conversation with Ed Strabel, skimeister extraordinaire. In fact, he was out at 1 a.m., grooming some of the trails and still was able to call in this morning. But it looks like the trails and the snow in this area are wonderful. Philip, in the Talkeetna area, and in particular not only the trails, but the issues associated with water that hasn't frozen. What's that like?
We did have a bit of a warming spell toward the beginning of the week coming out of last weekend, and so there are potentially some spots with overflow on some of the marshes and lakes. But outside of that, you know, we've got a the Denali Nordic Ski Club up here does a really good job keeping up with the trail systems in this area. And so I haven't been able to get out myself, but word is that there's constant work going on the various trails up here. And so I hear the skiing has been rather good in some of the parks.
And we've had reports from mushers that, that finally there is an opportunity to truly train. The snow's good.
Down in
this area.
So the question is, where is it going to leave? Where is the Iditarod going to leave off this year?
Yeah, well, time will tell. Mm-hmm. Let's switch to something that has grabbed people's attention since before the election, and that's the PFD. I'm curious about your reaction to a couple of things, but one of them in particular, we'll start with this. Do any of you normally on the first day of January go to your computer and sign up for the PFD? Zaz?
Sometimes when I remember.
Philip, how about
it's
you?
It's definitely a priority.
Typically not on the 1st of January, but yeah, I've usually done it by, you know, January 20th or so.
Okay. And Terry?
Yeah, I don't have a set time to do it. I have great intentions, but I always make it before the deadline. That's my deadline, but not always the first day. But I think there's a lot of people that do. Mm-hmm. There's some speculation. I think when it used to all be mail-in and not electronic, that the faster you got, you know, you signed up for it, the faster that check came in the mail. And now it's all electronic and actually doesn't really matter so much. But I think people still, especially old-timers and people that have been around a long time for the PFD, they think there's merit in getting it done. And also nobody wants to lose out. So.
And, of course, this year, as we know, those people who waited until 9 a.m. because it was a new time, not midnight, but 9 a.m., those first people found themselves in an extraordinary circumstance of submitting a number of them. I'm not sure how many, but more than
I
one.
I think it was 100, if I remember correctly.
Submitted, yeah. And of those, there were some that when they pushed the submit button, they were looking at someone else's information. And then we were faced with the issue that it was a holiday and trying to contact the PFD people to say, hello, was a little difficult, but finally happened. And now we're into this being Friday, January 4th. If you go to the PFD page, you still find the same issue.
Unexpected maintenance.
Thank you for your patience. Yes.
Is there any speculation when they might have it up? Have you heard, Toss?
I haven't heard. I haven't been working this week, but I haven't heard.
Philip, do you have a line into the department that controls this that can explain exactly what happened?
I unfortunately do not have any back channels into that office.
Well, it sounds like there were some new, I don't know if it's new software, but new systems that would automatically update your information in MyPFD, and that kind of overhaul is, I think, the being pointed to as the possible cause for all this, which is interesting because the PFD was such a focus of the election.
Yeah, you think there would be a lot of test driving of that in the month of December, knowing that there's going to be that rush at the beginning of January. So,
right. And yet those people who are familiar with large systems and upgrades say this is more likely to happen than not, actually, that there are this is a very complex system, and I guess the real question will be how the new administration, which has some people carried over from last administration, but also some new people, will handle this, since it was the center point of the new governor's whole, I think, election pitch to say PFD, and yet we're looking at now into day four, and you cannot apply for the PFD. So that's part one. We're sharing with listeners that we're all waiting, and apparently there's no new information. There's a second piece, though, that is less well known that I wanted to go over with people because I saw the references. This is over on Pick, Click, and Give, the lottery. Mm. Now, the lottery starts out pretty simple. It's referred to as an education raffle. But when you read through it, you see that if you're 18 years of age or older, and you can choose to donate money from your PFD to public education in $100 increments. So understand, though, say it's a $2,000 PFD check. How many donations?
Or 6,000.
What's that? Well, let's go with two. Just be conservative. But the $2,000 check that you would be receiving, how many $100 chances can you take? Zaz?
Well, and if I understand the lottery correctly, this is 50% would go to education, and then you're kind of gambling, right?
Right, but how much of your $2,000 can you put as entries into this lottery?
Probably all of it, right?
You got it.
Up to you. Yeah.
So if it's that way, you can take your entire check of $2,000 in $100 increments, which makes 20 entries, and you can take chance in the lottery.
Because the winnings are a percentage of the total fund. So the more of us who choose to participate, the higher our odds are of bigger winnings.
Yeah. Okay.
The irony to me is this: a state that has consistently fought trying to do being part of a Powerball lottery. Mm-hmm. We do it in increments. We have bingo, we have rippies, and now we have our own little lottery. And, you know, it could be said and somewhat unsuccessfully in states and not so, but the Powerball lottery has been used for education in a lot of states for the winnings of those. But I just think the irony in that fighting back that type of what they consider gambling, this seems to be okay.
Let me share with you and the listeners the bottom line pieces, because I spent some time looking at this. Can you withdraw your donation if you change your mind? If you enter the lottery, can you later on say no?
I bet you can, because you can change. You can't change your mind.
Nope.
Wow!
Yep.
Even
you decide to do it, and then later on you come to realize I've taken chances with $2,000. Okay, that's number one. How much state money does it take to run the raffle program? Mm-hmm. $35,000 to get it started. So that's what it will be.
And that's just this year, Mike?
Yes. After that, it's designed to be self-sustaining. Now, how much of your money actually goes to public education?
50%.
In the first year.
Ah.
Ah. And 25% of all donations go into a new education endowment trust. So we got part two to this. So then, how are the prizes paid out? Well, there are going to be four prizes paid out annually. And there's a calculation. The first prize is 8% of the raffle fund. The second is 4%. The third is 2%. And the fourth is 1%. Okay? So if, for example, there were 5,100 contributions, so this is their example thrown up, but that mean there'd be $510,000 to be dispersed. So, you know, half of it goes to the public education that year, a quarter goes into a fund for future education support, and that would leave about $127,000 to go into the raffle prize money, which would actually work out, meaning your first prize would be $10,000, second $5,000, and so on. Okay, reaction. Philip, you've been quiet up there. What do you think?
Well, having come from a lottery state initially, you know, the state of Texas has a rather large lottery going on down there. I'm always a little bit skeptical about, one, the impact of adding an additional venue for gambling, especially one that can be done without having to actually be there. Mm-hmm. That's potentially a little concerning for me. The other is, you know, I know the legislation that enacted this lottery says that public education will not receive smaller appropriation from the legislature due to this additional income, but in a lot of other states, that is not how that works out.
Right. In other words, you've got to believe that the legislature will be thinking, if we give this amount, there will be an additional amount that will come, and that might just affect people's thinking about this. Terry, what's your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I'm skeptical as my friend in Talkeetna. I think that people just don't think these things out, and there's a lot of opportunities, I mean, to buy $100 raffle tickets, and I probably may take that away from those. There are good nonprofits that are using raffles to fund their work, but I'm not sure that's how we want to fund education. The fact that it goes down to 25% makes me a little skeptical about it. And I didn't talk to the sponsor of this legislation, so it may, and I didn't really read the bill, so it may be more well thought out than I think. I hope with all of these things that they do an evaluation. I think $35,000 to run this sort of thing may be a little conservative in thinking, but we will see. I think some of these things have to run their course, and then they find out what the costs are, what the benefit is. You know, at some point, I mean, why could they not do this with the portion of the oil taxes? I mean, I've said that for a long time. Why can't that be an education endowment, a portion of what we collect in oil taxes? So, you know, if they can do one endowment, why can't they tap other sources to do endowments? That's the first thing that comes to me.
Okay, my big concern, and it's going to be very interesting, is to say, okay, we have pick, click, and give, where you have a choice. You look ahead and you say, I can contribute a certain amount to this place or that place. And so I could see someone, as they contemplate, saying, well, maybe I'll take this $100 and not donate it to a private, but take a shot at getting some money. And so it'll be interesting to see at the end of the game how the contributions to pick, click, and give organizations roll. I don't see it as having a positive impact on those donations, but that's just my thought.
Zaz, did you weigh in? What do you think?
You know, I think those concerns are valid. I think the impact on education funding can't be ignored. You know, it's in the legislation. This won't affect funding. How could it not, in the minds of legislators, affect funding? I think Mike's concerns regarding pick, click, give are legit. But I also think that we have to be grown-ups to participate in this program. And, you know, I think that for me anyway, rules the day here. I personally think that we need a lottery-type program in Alaska.
Yeah.
And if you choose to participate, it's your own responsibility and your own decision. But the collateral effect on other public programs is also mm-hmm. legitimate.
And it's grown-ups participating, but they're filing for their kids' PFD. So can they also gamble with their kids' PFD? That's a question. It's not... is kind of an open thing, too.
But
so
you have to be filing for yourself.
Yeah. You have to be filing for yourself.
There's a restriction, exactly.
Okay. They covered that, at least.
Yeah, covering a little bit. Okay, well, let's leave that because that's the future. We'll see what happens. But what I want to do now is switch to another topic which has come up, and it's been impending for a long time, 10 years has finally arrived, and that's Real ID.
Mm.
Real ID. Now, I hope later today or at the latest Monday to go over the DMV and actually walk through the process. I will bring what they're suggesting you bring, which is, in this case, my passport, my Social Security card, two pieces of mail that are sent to my address and don't say occupant, but actually say my name, and go through the process of paying twice what I would pay for a normal license, get a brand new picture and a brand new license, and I'll be good to go. Philip, have people up in Talkeetna been talking or thinking about Real ID in any way?
Every once in a while it's come up in conversation, just insofar as, you know, whenever the states had to ask for an extension, basically. People saying, well, am I not going to be able to get on an airplane next time I try, that sort of thing. Not a ton of discussion at this point.
Okay.
I think once we get closer to the actual, you know, deadline, then you'll hear more.
Hey, Philip, where's the closest DMV? Is it the Trapper Creek place or?
No, that one actually, it's not in Trapper Creek anymore. It's at the Y over by between Cubby's and the coffee shop there at the Y. Mm-hmm.
But is that an actual state office or is it a?
It's contracted.
So do you pay even a little more to go there?
I haven't gone to that one yet. When I went to the one in Trapper Creek to get my license a few years ago, I don't recall paying more, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, the point of bringing it up is Real ID is here now, but it's not required now. You still have some time, and then you still will be able to get a normal license as well. And if you choose to do that, you can have that license that you've always carried. And if you're going to want to enter a federal building, military installation, or climb aboard a commercial airliner, you can bring your passport and away you go. So I guess I'm looking for one round of answers to the question. Philip, are you going to get a Real ID?
Well, eventually, yeah. I suppose I will.
Okay. Terry?
You know, I fly enough that to me it's just easier than hanging around to a passport I wasn't looking forward. That's hard enough when you travel internationally. So I probably will do it.
Plus?
I guess I will under protest.
Yeah.
Because I think it's unnecessary and another layer of bureaucracy. And there are already issues with ID requirements in this country.
Okay.
And you know, there's a certain an argument of voter prosecution or oppression.
Right. And the fact that you've already showed all that information to get your license, now you have to go back in and show that information again. There's been
except that you're showing more information. Mm-hmm. You don't have to show, to get a regular license, you don't have to show the same kind of
Social Security card.
No, you don't have to do that. That's the difference. And, of course, one of the objections from the Alaska State Legislature over many years, 10 years, has been that it's a sharing of more information from this state to other states.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how well that holds up to scrutiny in terms of the actual information difference and sharing and so on. But this was a combined request after 9/11 from the Homeland Security and other groups to ensure that the credentials, the license, which has increasingly made more difficult to reproduce. But I know many high school students who have easily reproduced the old licenses. They don't stand up when you look real closely, but they're pretty good with all of the technology we have these days. So this is an attempt to produce something that's different with a holographic image. And it, by the way, it does have a moose on it. So
it does sound like it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that is true. So, Philip, I've asked some big questions about big topics, but I'm curious, you're here today as we begin 2019. What are people in Talkeetna most interested in talking about?
The weather lately. But, yeah, I mean, we just got done with the holidays, that sort of thing up here. I think a lot of folks are kind of getting back to normal life after either they're getting back to town or having family leave town. I just had family head back to Texas a few days ago and kind of getting back into the swing of things myself, in all honesty. But one thing on the Real ID, and I think Zaz alluded to it, is the increased cost, I think, for a lot of folks, for most folks probably, isn't a big deal, but there really is a barrier to a lot of things if you're not able to get a picture ID. Now, in this case, the old one will still be available, so maybe it's not as big of an issue. But, you know, I think for folks, you know, say someone is homeless and wants to get a job, but, you know, you need, you know, identification, that sort of thing, to be able to even apply for a lot of these things or for government assistance, that sort of stuff. So I think if this ever does become mandatory that folks go to the Real ID, I think there might be a small but significant unintended consequence there.
Yeah, especially if they decide that they need to have it for voting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right. Where I see it going. That worries me.
Right, right. And, of course, you've been talking about the location where you go, DMV offices. So if you happen to be in a village, mm-hmm. in a place which does not have a DMV office, you can't do this, apparently, as I understand at the present time.
Yeah, you have to fly someplace else.
Yep, you have to go and do that. Well, thank you, Philip. The weather is a topic of some discussion here. Of course, one of the other things that's happening is that we're beginning the year 2019, and it's my understanding, I had a brief conversation with one of the assembly members, is that it appears that there has been the beginning of a review of the emergency response to the earthquake, and that will be discussed and talked about in the very near future. I was a little surprised that we weren't hearing more about that earlier, but of course we rolled right into December and the holidays and the rest of it, as well as a continuing compilation of the statistics and the real property damage and people's needs. Looking at Anchorage, well over 750 buildings. And the governor just responding at the present time to say, asking for more federal aid so that the way in which this kind of sneaky earthquake happened, it left damage which is just still being discovered. Zaz, anything further? I know we've used you as a touchstone because you have a well. How's your well at the present
it's
time?
It's finally just about perfect. My husband installed a whole new filter. And the water is clear. The hot water was still working through the tank, but yeah, it's much better. I go to a dentist in Wasilla though, and he lives in Eagle River, and his house he just now rehung his doors so they actually close.
Wow!
And he's still waiting on an inspection. So in Eagle River, they're still very much up in the air in terms of structural damage.
Hmm. What about Talkeetna? I didn't hear much of what kind of damages did you have up there?
Minimal, very minimal. Things falling off shelves is the extent of what I've heard. Now, it's possible that folks have foundation issues, that sort of thing, that they're just now finding out, but nothing significant that's reached me.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's been the... So we'll be still counting that, and I suspect that as winter turns into spring, maybe even more will be revealed, so it's not just one of these deals. Have you felt, though, up there, Philip, any of the aftershocks?
Oh, yes. Not to the degree that that y'all further south have, I think, but any time they get up and they've gotten up above the 4.0 range, we tend to feel them up here.
Yeah, yeah, and we've been told, at least as best I can hear, that these are normal, and they have not they're not presaging another larger earthquake, etc. So time will tell.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I want to thank all three of you for taking the time to be part of Valley Edition this week. I want to thank Philip Manning from Talkeetna for calling in.
My pleasure. Enjoy those cookies and have a good weekend.
And I want to thank Zaz Hollander for coming in, being tempted by the cookies that were provided.
It's nice to see you all in person as well.
And I want to thank Terry Snyder for also coming in.
Great. Great to be here, Mike.
And we'll be back next week with another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.